All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Mitten here to dig a little deeper with you into the epistles of John. This week we finish 1 John by looking at chapter 5. And this is one of the great chapters of John as he writes. And we see the great emphasis he has for his people as he's writing to them in Ephesus during his day, but also for us today. So 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome our world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we asked of him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who is born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He is true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. So far our text. A lot of items to cover here, but there is one overarching theme. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith in Jesus is what brings us from this life to the next life. It is what really differentiates between mortal sin and venial sin, as we get to at the end of this chapter. There is all of this focus on faith from the very beginning of verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Cyril of Jerusalem says in his catechetical lectures, we can turn this around and say that anyone who despises the begotten also despises the one who begat him. All right? Anyone who loves God, the Father, loves the Son also. Yet, Cyril says, the inverse is true. Whoever despises the only begotten Son despises the Father as well. Caesarius of Arles says, John immediately joined love to faith because without love, faith is useless. According to charity, faith belongs to Christians, but without love, it belongs to the demons. Moreover, those who do not believe are even worse than the demons. Here we have this issue that Paul takes up about faith and love and the connection there. And we see this especially drawn out in Apology Article 5, as we'll get to on the Confessional Corner side down the road as we get into the Book of Concord again. But John immediately joins faith and love because you need both. Because without love, you have no proof of your faith. Without love, you have no proof of the Savior living within you. Without love, you are just like the demons who know the truth, but the truth doesn't affect them. The truth doesn't help them. John goes on to say in verse 4, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Dr. Kretzmann writes in his commentary, "This conquest, this overcoming of the world is a continuous process. That is the work in which the regenerate are always engaged. Not in their own power, indeed, do they battle with the forces of darkness, but in and by the faith which God kindled in them in conversion. Without this faith, the professed believers would be lost, no matter what prodigies of cleverness and wisdom they may be otherwise. But with this faith, they are victors even in advance, for they become partakers of the victory which their champion, Jesus Christ, won over the kingdom of darkness. He overcame sin, death, and hell, and therefore these enemies are powerless against the faith which clings to the Savior and his victory." Faith in Jesus is truly the victory that overcomes the world. It is the one that overcomes the world. It's the one that overcomes the devil. It's the one that comes over hell. It is truly what brings us our joy, because we have the promise. We have the certainty of our heavenly reward, that what is waiting for us for all of eternity in heaven is ours now in Christ. We have given it to, he has given it to us in our baptism. He continues to give it to us as this pastor stands before the congregation and announces the absolution. He gives it to us again and again as we come before the altar and receive his body and blood in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. That is the faith that overcomes the world. That is how we are overcomers, is all through faith in Jesus. And without that faith, we have nothing, regardless of how clever and how wise and how smart we may be. We are nothing without faith. So John goes on, "Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree." On the basis of two or three witnesses, Deuteronomy says, should a matter be discerned and the truth be revealed. So Jesus himself gives us three witnesses: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Andreas talks about in the 6th century, "What flowed from his side was also the blood which cleanses us from sin and sanctifies the people of God. It was not a mere man who appeared at the Jordan, but the incarnate Word of God, to whom the Father also bore witness, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' Similarly, when he was hanging on the cross, what sounded to the people like thunder was the voice of God speaking at the moment that his blood fell to the ground." When Jesus was dead on the cross, they pierced his side, and blood and water flowed out. The life had been given. So also the Spirit testifies. As the thunder comes in, the voice of God himself proclaiming the victory over death that was coming on Easter morning, but was there in the embodiment on the cross. Dr. Kretzmann also says, along with Andreas, there are two principal events in the life of Jesus that John sets before us. Again, his baptism and his death, where he goes into his public ministry after being baptized by John, and then he ends his public ministry by giving himself as the sacrifice for the sin of the world. These two events prove with special force that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world. He accepted the baptism intended for sinners and thereby declared his willingness to make full satisfaction for the sins of the world. He shed his blood and gave his life into death for the reconciliation of the world. Augustine goes on to say, "What was it that flowed from Jesus' side if not the sacrament which believers receive? The Spirit, the blood, and the water, the spirit which he gave up, the blood and water which flowed from his side. The church is signified as being born from this blood and water. This is the fulfillment of baptism right here. The Venerable Bede also says, the Spirit bore witness that Jesus is the truth when he descended on him at baptism. If Jesus were not the truth, the Spirit would not have done that. The water and the blood bore witness that Jesus is the truth when they both flowed from his side at the time he was crucified. That would not have been possible if he had not had a genuine human nature. All three are independent of each other, but their testimony is one and the same, because Christ's divinity is not to be believed in apart from his humanity, nor is his humanity to be accepted apart from his divinity. And all three are present also in us, not in their natural form, but in the mystical union of our souls with him. The Spirit makes us children of God by adoption. The water of the sacred font cleanses us, and the blood of the Lord redeems us. They are invisible in themselves, but in the sacraments they are made visible for our benefit. We saw at the beginning of this month, as we came together to celebrate All Saints' Day, the collect of the day where we rejoice in the fact that God has knitted us together in the mystical union of his body, the church. This is the Spirit, the water, and the blood living in us, as Bede says. This is not the natural way that the Spirit and the water and the blood flow, but the way that Jesus can make it given to us all of these years later, whether it's Bede in the 8th century or it's us in the 21st century. We receive the same gifts, the same body and blood, the water of baptism, the Spirit of truth. This is what gives us the faith. This is why we believe in Christ, because he has given us all of these witnesses. So we go on into verse 9. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he is born concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And he goes on, as we have seen throughout 1 John, of light and life being there in Christ. And if you have Christ, you have his light, you have his life. This is why we are confident. This is why, in verse 15, we know that he hears us in whatever we ask. And we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Jesus promises to hear our prayers. He promises to answer our prayers. Why? Because of our faith. The faith that he has given to us. Now, as we conclude 1 John, he talks about faith in action and faith against sin. And we have this distinction in theology of mortal sins and venial sins. And many times we just want to brush that off as, well, that's just Catholic talking and that doesn't have anything to do with us as Lutherans or us as any non-Catholic. But John says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death. There is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. There are venial sins, sins that do not lead to death. And then there is one mortal sin, as Jesus reminds us. Every venial sin, regardless of how heinous and horrible it is, can be prayed for and can be forgiven. But the mortal sin, don't even bother praying for it. Don't bother praying for that to be forgiven, because it is the one that Jesus himself says he will not forgive. And that is in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Period. Dr. Kretzmann says there is only one sin where faith is futile and foolish, namely the sin of willful rejection of the accepted truth of salvation, the sin against the Holy Ghost. This sin will only very seldom be identified with certainty. But when this is the case, intercession may as well cease, for this sin, by its peculiar nature, precludes forgiveness. Why does it do that? Because you don't believe that there is forgiveness. You don't believe that there is someone who is forgiving you, has the authority to forgive you. That's the mortal sin. The unbelief, the refusal to believe what has been declared by God. That is the mortal sin. That is the one that cannot be forgiven. That is the one that should not be prayed for. However, Dr. Kretzmann also reminds us that it is very hard to identify clearly because we want to amplify doubts into unbelief. And we want to make a bigger case out of somebody who has doubts over things than someone who is abjectly saying, no, Jesus Christ never existed, or that there is no Holy Spirit, or there is no God, or any of these things that we're just like, well, they're just, we want to talk about them being confused and just needing a little bit more. But from those very ardent atheists that I have known, they are ardent atheists because of their increased knowledge. They want to have all of this knowledge and all of this explained to them. And when a Christian comes along and says they can't explain the Trinity, they can't explain why God would forgive us and God would forgive evil people. And we say an answer that does not make clear logical sense to them. They want to go away. They want to leave us out of it as superstitious Neanderthals. But John ends his epistle. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. This is the basis for us. This is the basis for faith, is that we believe in the knowledge that God has given us through his Son. And we believe, as we have seen through 1 John, that those who do not accept Jesus are one of the Antichrists and therefore should be avoided. Yet, there is always a possibility for those who are very ardent in their words to really be not ardent atheists, but really just confused agnostics. So do we stop reaching out to them? No. We continue to give them the proof from the Word. We continue to give them the testimony, because that is what we have. We have the testimony of the Son of God who has come to save us. And that is the victory that overcomes the world. That is the victory that overcomes sin. That is the victory that we have been given through Christ. All right, that is it for this week and for 1 John. Next week we get into 2 John, as we talked about it being possibly the cover letter for the general epistle that started off. The body of it is 1 John. But we will talk a little bit more about that next week as we get into that text. But until then, this is Pastor Doug Minton praying that this testimony has given you the strength and will give you the victory as you wrestle with the theology around you today and always. Amen.